my pleasure to be with you again today, and it's good to see you. We appreciate you coming and your interest in things that brings us together. In the morning services, we're looking at God's final words to man from the book of Revelation. We delved into it yesterday by a little bit of review, and now he gave us the key to understanding the book. In the first chapter, the first verse, things started to come to pass, and he signified it. That means the majority of things in this book's already been fulfilled, started to come to pass. Not 2,000 years down the road, but at hand. And then he signified it. That means it's codified. Language that the Lord's people could understand, but the enemy could not. That's what that's about. The second thing we looked at is the blessed man. Seven times he talked about the blessed man that readeth it, and so on. And the third thing we looked at, he made us kings and priests. Revelation 1:6. And then we entertained the thought that Christ will come again. And when he does, every eye will see him. He'll not come, as we're told by the 70 AD people, that he came and you didn't get to see him, right? Then we looked at the fact that he said that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. That means he's the beginning and the end, the two first and second words, last words of the Greek alphabet. And then he told us that John is in the kingdom, which becomes a death blow to the people who say the kingdom is yet to be set up. John was in it. In order to be in it, it had to be established. And then we close with Revelation 1:10, when he talks about the Lord's Day. And we learn the Lord's Day is the first day of the week, the day that the church was established, the day the Lord arose from the dead, met with the disciples, and those kinds of things. And it's the day that's set aside to observe the Lord's Supper. Acts 20 and verse 7. And the Levine store, as we have been prospered. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. That brings us down to point number 8. Should you be making some kind of notes? I hope you're doing that. That way you have a little reference to these things. In the book of Revelation 1, 16 to 20, he reveals the mystery of the seven stars and the seven candlesticks. 16 to 20. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. By the way, the word amen means I agree, so be it. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou seest, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And here's the kicker that I'm after. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. See, that's figurative language, you can begin to see. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And so this book is full of things just like that. And it's a lot of figurative and literal language in the book, and there's a good example of it. These candlesticks, which thou sawest back earlier, refer to the seven churches. That's the seven churches of Asia. That's mentioned in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Okay? Then beginning in the second chapter of the book of Revelation, he writes letters to these seven churches. Each one of these was the Church of Christ. I was in a meeting someplace last year, and they had in there on their website, "This church is a Church of Christ church." You buy that? Is there any such thing as a Church of Christ church? You ever heard that before? Never have, ever did I? Well, there ain't no such thing as a Church of Christ church. Each of these mentioned in the book of Revelation, each of these was the Church of Christ. They were not a Church of Christ church, they were the Church of Christ. And here's a good sample of that when he identifies this. For example, chapter 2, verse 1. "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus." That wasn't a Church of Christ church. That was a Church of Christ that met in the city of Ephesus. Or the Church of Christ, the Mill Street Church of Christ in London, Kentucky, or wherever. See, that's the way the Bible uses the term. And never, never Church of Christ church. Okay? I mentioned that to one of the elders. He said, "I didn't know we had that in our..." Anyway, he said, "I'll look into that." I hope they did. Okay. Now, when you encounter these churches of Christ in Asia, there are some good ones and there are some bad ones. They were at Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things which saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." And something kind of familiar to all of these churches was, the Lord said, "I know thy works." You don't have to wonder, "Lord, do you know about the Church of Christ that meets in Mill Street in London, Kentucky?" Oh yeah, he knows all about you. You don't have to tell him. You don't have to wonder, "Lord, do you know about us?" Yeah. He knows all about every member, doesn't he? And that's something? And so we need to be the best of the people that we can be, since the Lord knows us pretty well. "I know. I know you. I know your work. I know what you do and what you don't do. I know your labor. I know whether or not you're patient or not. And how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." It's kind of like that passage in 1 John 4:1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether it be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." And so the Lord knows all about that. And so, as you ask to this church at Ephesus, by the way, let me ask you, where do you read about the conversion of the church at Ephesus? This side.
Acts.
There's two over there.
Acts.
You know more? Can you be more specific?
Yeah.
All the conversion in the book of Acts. Over here, who knows?
Acts 13 is when he started his first journey.
No. Who really knows? James, do you know where the conversion of the Ephesians is found? It's in Acts 19. The conversions began in Acts chapter 2, right? And go through Acts 19. And that's where you read the conversion of this group of people. And he found, what did he find when he went to Ephesus? What was the issue there?
Left their first love.
Huh?
It says they left their first love?
Yeah, I mean back in Acts 19.
Oh, this.
How many people did he talk to?
12
men. And they'd been baptized of John's baptism. And John's baptism has been replaced with the baptism of the Lord. And so he taught them, and then they were baptized again. Evidently, they had failed to meet the conditions at the time. Okay? That's the history of the beginning of this church that we're talking about. Okay? And one of the problems was, he said, "I got some things against you. Had he been writing to the Mill Street Church of Christ in London, Kentucky, would he have found some things against you or this church? I don't know. You might know. Would he have found some things about you individually that need to be changed? You'll have to decide that. Not me. They had left their first love. Wonder what that means. Perhaps this. When a person first obeys the gospel, they're thrilled. I've learned the truth. I've believed it. I have obeyed it. And I'm on fire.